We hope and trust that you will find this Torah in Motion program meaningful. Through these programs, Torah in Motion encourages discussion, debate, and education about the most important issues facing Jews and Judaism today. Together, we can focus on creating religious commitment through an honest and sophisticated encounter with topics that are relevant to being Jewish in the modern world. For more information about this and other Torah in Motion programs, please visit the website at www.torahinmotion.org.
But it will be proper, the house of the Lord will be on the mountain. We will go there, v'naru elav kol ha-goyim, and all the nations of the world will come to seek out God. Bachu amim rabim, and many nations of the world, v'amru lechu na'al el har Adonai. Let us go up to the mountain of God, el beit Elohei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Jacob, v'yareinu midrachav, v'nelcha borchatav. And he'll show us the way we are to lead our life, v'nelcha borchatav, and we'll walk in the path of God. Because out of Zion comes forth our Torah, the word of God in Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and rebuke the many nations, and they will chop off their swords. Nations shall not learn war, shall not pick up swords, and nor learn war anymore. The prophet Yeshayahu, Perek Beit, just a few psukim after the finishing of the Haftorah we just read on Shabbos, where Yeshayahu Hanavi tells us on corruption and perversion and religious insincerity and hypocrisy and the notion that we can bring the sacrifices and get an atonement, where Yeshayahu rallies against all these horrible ideas, and he tells us the only way, it's Zion b'mishpat tipadeh, that Zion is redeemed through justice, b'shaveh, or b'shaveh b'tzaka, and righteousness. Yeshayahu Hanavi tells us that basically we have a three-prong, we have a tripod to reach the notion of redemption. There is Zion, there is Torah, and Shalom. From out of Zion, we have the words of Torah, followed immediately by the pasuk of Lo Yisa Goy El Goy Charev. I will tell you, when preparing for the talk, we say the pasuk Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. How many times a year? A few hundred times a year. We sing it probably 1,000 times on Simchas Torah when we're jumping up and down in our Simcha, right? But how many of us? First of all, how many of us realize it's only half a pasuk? It's not even a whole pasuk. It's just a halachic problem to say half a pasuk. The context of the pasuk, where it comes from, and really in the pshat of Yeshayahu Hanavi, it's talking, this is a prophecy on the future, that only in the future. It's interesting who says it. If you look in the pasuk, it's the nations are saying, V'alchu amim rabim v'amru, the nations of the world will finally recognize Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. The Torah is true. It's always true, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. But it's only in the Messianic era that this will be recognized as the truth. We can't have, we all know, we can't have Torah, Zion, or peace. If you only have one without the other, there's something incomplete. Or even two, and you're missing the third. To have Zion without Torah, that was the vision of secular Zionism. To return to a state, to build a state, it's a very important idea. But Zion, divorced from Torah, cannot have a complete endurance, cannot last the Messianic age. Torah without Zion also cannot work. We'll get there in a moment. And of course, both of them, you have everything without peace. Peace is the kli hamachzi kol habrachot. Peace is the vessel that holds all our blessings. We end up everything we say. We end our Shmon Esrei, we end our Kaddish, we end all of Shas with the notion of Shalom, Hashem Oz Lamo Yitein, Hashem Yivarech Etzamo V'Shalom. Without peace, we don't have anything. Torah, Tzion, and peace. This is what we need to get to the Messianic age. This is our response to the corruption that Yeshayahu was just told about. This is the response we have to have. I want to focus, what exactly does it mean, ki mitzion te tzitzera? Rabbi Michalowicz said he didn't have time. He told me before he was going to talk on three subjects. And he told me that one of them is going to be on Israel, how our materialism, as you all heard, that we are missing what true simcha is and how that affects our relationship to Eretz Yisrael. Didn't have enough time, so hopefully I'll try to pick up on the job a little bit, to focus a little on Eretz Yisrael, which of course is always on the forefront, on Tisha B'Av has to be even more so, and the current state of affairs, the matzav, as we all call it, when the way we euphemistically talk, Rabbi Trotberg said, we don't like to face our truth. So in Israel, they have a matzav. They have a situation. Very, very strange word. It's not a situation. It's a terrible situation. They have war and killings and terror. That's what we have. We don't want to say it. We don't want to say it. So we call it, there's a matzav, the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. So we have to improve the matzav. We can do here to improve the matzav. First thing is, what exactly does it mean, ki mitzion te Torah dvar Hashem Rishon? First of all, it's a redundant pasuk in many ways. Ki mitzion te Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. What is the difference between Torah and Dvar Hashem, Sion, Yerushalayim? So the Mitzuda David, if you open up in the Mikra Kedolot, and Yisheo tells us that only the Torah in Sion is a true Torah. That's what he said. The Torah of Sion is a true Torah. That's the only Torah. He doesn't say the words, but the obvious implication is that the Torah not in Zion, Torah that is not conducted in Zion is not real Torah. It's make-believe, as they call it. He doesn't say this, but it appears to me it's at Sion. You know, the Navi Yirmiyahu, who is the prophet of Tisha B'Av, the author of Eicha, according to Chazal, Yirmiyahu tells us you're going to go to Babel. And when you get to Babel, he gives us instructions. We have to be a loyal citizen, Hatina de Machut Hatina. We have to live our lives in Babel, honesty, integrity, and he tells us, Batsiva lach lach tzionim. Have tzionim. I think, I don't know, my etymology, maybe there's a Hebrew expert here. Kimi tzion te tzeterah hatsiva lach tzion. What's a tzion? It's a sign, a signpost. And some of the Mephoshim actually explain this meant that everywhere in Babel, you know, when you travel on the highway. So it tells you how many miles to New York, and 400 miles, and 200 Neymars, and the next service road. So there had to be signs. Yerushalayim is 450 miles to that. You have to have a signpost, the road to Yerushalayim, Kimi Tzion. But I'm sure many of you know, this serves as the Medrash, a very famous notion, that the way Chazal interpreted this pasuk is that when you go to Babel, you're going to make a very, very pretty simple argument, has a lot of logic. You're going to say, why do we have to keep our Torah anymore? The whole purpose of Torah, God took us out of Egypt, was to come into Eretz Yisrael. That was the whole purpose. God said, I'm going to take you in, you're going to worship me, you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to set up a state. Matter of fact, all of Sefer Devarim is about setting up a state of Israel. That's what Sefer Devarim is all about. That's why all the mitzvot of a Sanhedrin are there, and a Melech, and the Maisrod, and therefore we only talk on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. We don't talk Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rav Shishim Raval Hirsch at the beginning explains every mitzvah in Devarim only relates to Eretz Yisrael. The first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says is Chet HaMeraglim. Because that's their concern. They're on the threshold of Eretz Yisrael. That's the climax of the Torah. That's the whole purpose of the Torah, to come to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe we're not going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we don't have to keep Torah anymore. It's not the same way the Rabbi Trotberg was talking on the return. You don't have to observe any more any Tisha B'Av in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe in Babel you don't have to observe any Torah. So in essence, it sounds like a radical notion. So the Medrash says, you're right in theory, but not in practice. That's really what the Medrash says. And Rashi quotes it. This is Rashi quotes it. We'll read it. We'll see. It's next week in the Vayayim Shamoa, where we read that you'll becharaf Hashem b'chem. God will get angry at you. We'll sin. Va'avadatem eiram el eretz tovah. God will throw us out of the wonderful land. And then the next pasuk says, "V'samtem et v'ra'ila alavavchem." Still put on tefillin. Have a go and teach Torah, and put a mezuzah. So So the Mefarshim are bothered. Rashi quotes them. What, I don't understand. What's the connection between leaving Israel and putting on tefillin and learning Torah and having a mezuzah? So Rashi explains what we're saying, what the Medrash, what Yirmiyahu Hanavi told us. That is the pasuk he quotes. That maybe we don't have to keep the mitzvah anymore. So God says no. Even though you're going to Chutz La'aretz, even though you're leaving, you're going to Babel, still keep the mitzvah. Why? Hatsiva lach tzionim. Because Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, as a signpost, have a reminder. So when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, you won't be out of practice. You know how long of a spring training you'd have to have if after 2,000 years you didn't do any mitzvah? How hard it would be to get back in the swing of things. So you're going to be away for 70 years. In 70 years, you can lose a lot. So keep the mitzvah, not because you really have to keep the mitzvah. And don't, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not giving anybody a heter not to keep any mitzvah here. But you have to understand, on a theoretical basis, on the deeper level, we're talking that the notion is the mitzvot and chutz la'aretz are practiced. They're a tzion. They're a marker. It's a sign. It's not the real thing. A sign is when you don't have, when you're at the wedding. So you want to have all the pictures at the wedding, right? It's not the real thing. The pictures aren't the real thing at the wedding. The real thing is the dancing, as we just heard, the simcha. But a picture is a sign of what happened. So make a sign. Keep the mitzvot in chutz la'aretz. It looks the same. And of course, what's amazing about the Medrash is that the Medrash is not talking in Truman Meister. It's not talking about agricultural laws. It's talking about, as the Mishnah in Kiddushin tells us, we all know it's mitzvot, she'enan tluyot bekarka. They're not dependent on the land. It's a mitzvah in the goof. It's a mitzvah in the individual. Tefillin, mezuzah, Talmud Torah. What does this have to do with the land of Israel? Absolutely nothing, but apparently everything. We may think absolutely nothing. The Medrash, and Rashi, Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu, everybody is telling us, no, ki mitzion teitzei Torah. That's what the Mitzudat says. The Mitzudat says, only in Torah is it a true Torah. The Torah of Chutz La'aretz, a little bit of a false Torah. It's not really true. Perhaps with this we can also understand the, I said it in the morning in the keynote, I say it all the time, but I'll say it again for those who weren't here. Many weren't here. That we know that all the stories of destruction of the Churban are in Gittin, because the Get is the breaking of the relationship between a husband and wife. We are, God and the Jewish people are married, and exile was our Get. God went and divorced us. He kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael. That's our divorce document. So God paid us off a little bit. He came with us into the Galut. He's sort of there, you know, alimony a little bit. It's a Get. So all the stories are in Gittin. And therefore, all the mitzvot, all the beautiful statements about how wonderful Eretz Yisrael are in Ketubah, are in the Masechet that talks on the Ketubah. On the marriage contract, because when we come back to Israel, the marriage is renewed. The couple is back together. We have yichud, as we said in the keynote, the yichud that God and the Jewish people have, that we can only have in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara in Ksuvah says that whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz, this is famous. I'm not saying things people, they don't know, but as the Mesilat Yesharim says, you have to, often it's the things that are the most obvious that you have to say over and over again. So, this is that whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz is as if he doesn't have a God. Kol Adar Be'eretz Yisrael, and they quote from David HaMelech when he was thrown out, he said, you're making me commit idolatry. A very strange Gemara. What do you mean? You live in Chutz La'aretz, it's worshipping idols? That's what the Gemara says. So, simple pshat, that's what it means, that you can argue the assimilation, that we have in the, when we're in the nations of the world, we're exposed to all foreign ideas. That in Israel, you have the culture is pure. That may be true, but what about nowadays? Nowadays, it's not 100% true. Israel is not yet a religious state. The culture is very much American in Israel. Some of the worst parts of American culture are in Israel. But yet the Gemara doesn't make a distinction, a secular state, a religious state. It's not talking who the government is. It's saying if you live in Israel, and the Rambam, of course, we know, all the Rambam paskins, that it's better to live in a totally irreligious neighborhood in Israel than to live at the corner of Bathurst and Lawrence. That's the Rambam says. It's better to live in an ir shekula goyim, totally irreligious, idolaters all over the place. But it's in Israel. better to live there than to live in Chutz Laretz, in a city where everybody is learning Torah. I wouldn't have said such a thing. To me, I think the influence, the negative influence of the Israeli, all the idol worshippers there would be much worse. That would totally take you astray. But living in Chutz Laretz, at least in a Torah environment, and the Bate Midrash should be on, that's what I would have said. But I don't make up the halachot. That's what the Rambam paskins. It's a psak halach in the Rambam. So what does it mean, though? It means all the time, even if there's idolatry in Israel, whoever lives in Israel is worshiping God, and whoever lives in Chutz Laretz is not worshiping God. Because God, it would appear, the simple pshat in the Gemara, is because God lives in Israel. God lives in Israel, and the mitzvah is we have to live where God is. You have to go where God, if you love God, you want to worship God, you want to be married, right? So it's not such a great marriage. You have this occasionally, beginning of the marriage. The husband's in school still, and it's very complicated. So there, he has a job somewhere, so he flies in, he spends half the time with the family, and half the time he's traveling. You can do that maybe for a couple years, but you cannot do that for a permanent type of basis. If God lives in Israel, and we live in Chutz Laretz, so we don't like God that much. It means we're not so close to God. That's idolatry. That's what the Gemara says. It's ke'ilu. It's not exactly, it's like idolatry. You live in Israel, you're in God's home. How do I know that Israel is where God lives? So there can be a lot of proofs, including here, our pasuk, of Kimitzion Tentei Torah. But what other proofs they have? So I'll just quote one other pasuk, also a famous pasuk. How do we know that God, well, the basic pasuk by Parsha Truma, Basuli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Tocham, make for me a Beis HaMikdash, Tzion Yerushalayim, and I'll dwell there, I'll live there. God is saying, I live in Israel. Don't live away, I live in Israel. Basuli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Tocham. But the pasuk, I also believe, in Parshat Ekev, we're going to read it in 2 weeks, Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba, the eyes of God are focused on Israel, May Reishit Hashana Ad Achrit Shana. The eyes of God are focused on Israel from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. This is, by the way, where the Gemara learns the notion that Rosh Hashanah is a judgment day. May Reishit Hashanah, the beginning of the year, we learn Ma Ba'achrit Hashanah. That's on a drush level, what will be at the end of the year. The simple meaning, the pasuk says, the eyes of God are focused on Israel. What does that mean? That God has great vision. He sees everything. But even when you have great vision, you look at one thing, the peripheral vision takes you somewhere else. So God stares at Israel. His peripheral vision allows him to see what goes on in Canada. But that's not what God is focused on. God is focused on Eretz Yisrael. So that's what apparently the Gemara is saying, that one who lives in Chutz Laretz, it's ke'ilu. You're not really living where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives. So that's a form of idolatry. You have to go live with God. So what? You have bad neighbors. But you have the greatest neighbor of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam means. It's better to live in Israel in full of idolatry. You have the greatest neighbor. God as the neighbor outweighs all the bad neighbors. And in Chutz Laretz, you have the greatest neighbors in the world, but you don't really have God with you. So that doesn't work. I don't want to quote, I'm sure you all know all the sources that in Chutz Laretz our prayers are not answered this well, they go through an angel. We don't have it, as Menachem Begin said, the old joke that everybody knows, it's really true. Like any good Jewish joke, it's true, has a truth to it. In Israel, it's a local call. You know the old joke with the Russians and Carter, whatever. It says here, because he puts in a dime, because from Israel to be God is a local. The only reason it's a good joke is because it's true. That's exactly what Chazal say. The Malbim on the Pasuk of Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, says, what is Tzion? What do we mean by Zion? So he says that Tzion is the Sanhedrin, the Kohen Gadol, and Malchut ben Beit David. It's the seat of the Sanhedrin, which was next door to the Beit HaMikdash. That's where it stood. The Kohen Gadol, obviously the Beit HaMikdash, and it's the Malchut Beit David. It's the capital of Israel. Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim is Nevuah. Is prophecy. So I just want to focus on these ideas, a number of brief comments. The first thing the Malbim says, Malbim is one of the classic commentaries on Tanakh. He lived in the 1800s, at the same time as the Chasam Sofer. He's a little bit younger than him. He was a brilliant, his style with the question and answers, and very much the exact meaning of every word. That was his focus, the words that appear similar, what is the nuance in the word. So the Malbim says the Sion is Sanhedrin Kohen Gadol Malchut. So first thing, what's so important about a Sanhedrin? That only in Israel, only in Sion can you have a Sanhedrin. So in the keynote today, we read on Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, one of the Asara Haruge Malchut, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Who's Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba? So the Gemara explains that the Romans put a decree against Michis. You have to understand, the Goyim sometimes have a better perception of what's important, and we understand. The Goyim often, they chap right away. They chap the importance of Israel. So they're fighting for a tooth and nail against Israel. So the Romans understood the power of smicha, and the Romans put a death penalty on anybody who would give smicha, and unfortunately it worked. The institution of smicha was ended. The Romans, they succeeded in ending the institution of smicha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, in open defiance of the Romans, gave smicha to 5 students. And the Romans, they went and they got him, and as they were catching in, he told his students to run away. He'll stand and he'll guard the fort. And he stood there, and as the Gemara said, they put 300 spears into his body. They killed him. That was basically the end of smicha. Till there was an attempt. This is, you should know, interesting. There was an attempt, of course, in the 1500s, the famous attempt. Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, wrote the Shulchan Aruch after he got smicha. Rav Yaakov Beirav, there was an attempt when that was the first mass movement of Jews living in Israel after the Spanish expulsion. And I'm sure many of you know that in 1948, Yehuda Leib Maimon, the first minister of religion in the state of Israel, quite a big Talmid Chacham, the author of the Sarei HaMeah, you may have that at home, a 6-volume work on the great rabbis who lived between 1840 and 1940, that 100-year period. So Rabbi Yehuda Leib Maimon, a great member in the first Knesset, so he wrote a book, which I have at home, about an 80-page book, on the Hitchatshut HaSanhedrin Bizman Hazeh, on the attempt to revive a Sanhedrin Bizman Hazeh, and he published a book. And when we learned in Yeshiva and Rav Lichtenstein, the 1 year I had him for in Israel, so he gave when we learned, that's what we were learning Sanhedrin. We were learning Sanhedrin. He quoted the book often. He made mention of the whole notion of the revival of the Sanhedrin. So obviously, Sanhedrin is very important. And the Romans understood it. What's so important about this Sanhedrin? What is the most, what's the key of this Sanhedrin? So there are many, many ideas. So first of all, the Sanhedrin is basically our judicial autonomy. Without a Sanhedrin, we cannot have a complete a judicial system. We know that nowadays our courts can only deal on monetary matters. Our courts do not have the ability, at least from a halachic point of view, I'm not talking on Dina Tamaput Dina, which may apply even in Israel, or it surely applies in Israel, but we cannot give any criminal offense. We're a truncated system. The whole note, we can't have anything. You can't even go to war. Without a Sanhedrin, you can't go to war unless it's a defensive war. So all the wars in Israel are defensive wars if you are attacked. But the Sanhedrin is the completeness of the Jewish people. Without the Sanhedrin, we've lost our whole national identity. Judaism is just a bunch of individuals. The Sanhedrin is what gives it a life, and that's what the giving of smicha is. What's the giving of smicha? The giving of smicha is the passing down of our Masorah, of our heritage from one generation to another. You know, that's an amazing thing. As far as I can tell, as I recall, only once in the entire Chumash does Moshe talk to God. Does Moshe initiate a conversation with God? The entire Chumash is Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. That's all Chumash. So God speaks to Moshe. Only once in the Chumash does it Vayedaber Moshe El Hashem Shem Lemor. That's the passage we read a couple weeks ago in Pinchas. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have to give smicha. I have to appoint a new leader. You said I'm going to die. We need a new leader. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't die unless I give smicha. Because if there's no smicha, there's no. I want to guarantee there's the passing down of the Masorah to the next generation. So that's what we have to have. So he insisted to God. He spoke to God to give an answer. Without the Sanhedrin, without smicha, and of course that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. You can only get smicha in Israel. There is no smicha in Chutz Laretz. The smicha we have today is Hetor Hara. It's a teacher's license. That's what the Gemara says. But the real smicha must be this notion passing down our Masorah. The Rambam in Hilchot Mamrim writes, the famous formulation of the Rambam, Beit Din HaGadol sheBirushalayim heim ikar Torah sheba'al peh. The High Court in Jerusalem is the main transmitter of the oral law. Beheim amudei haHorah, they are the pillar of teachings. Umehem chok u'mishpat yotzei l'chol Yisrael. And from there, law and judgment goes to the entire nation. Balei mitzchat Torah, and it's on them we have to rely. Shenemar al pi haTorah asher yarucha. According to their ruling, we must follow. Zeh mitzvat aseh. V'chol ha'mamin b'Moshe Rabbeinu. Whoever believes in Moshe Rabbeinu, with Torah, this is pretty strong language. Chayav lismoch maseh adat aleihem. It's interesting, though, sort of like a play on worm. Lismoch, you have to rely, to lean, just like when you give smicha. Whoever believes in Moshe Rabbeinu must believe, must rely on the maseh adat, our Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the national identity of the Jewish people, the transmitters of our Torah. Without a Sanhedrin, without Eretz Yisrael, we've lost that. And the Romans understood that, and that's what exile, that's one of the motions of exile is all about. Let's say two more interesting things. The Sanhedrin also has, and this is extremely relevant on Tisha B'Av, the notion of the way to end arguments. How does the Torah describe if you have an argument, a fight, there are two people, they don't know what the law, so you keep going up. You go up, you come to Yerushalayim, you come to Alita, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about that whenever there used to be a machloket, we had a resolution mechanism. There was a way to resolve. Should we give a hechsher on this? If this, who, anything. Should we have a holiday of Purim? So you need the Sanhedrin to decide. Should we have a holiday of Purim? What should we do? So you had a way to decide. The Gemara says with the destruction of the Sanhedrin, so nase Torah kishtei Torah. Our Torah became like two Torahs. This one says that. We have no way. If in the time of the Gemara they had two Torahs, so we have 200 Torahs, if not, you know, have 2,000 Torahs. But that's what the Sanhedrin has. So that's what we lose. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Another notion, the Gemara has a fascinating story. We won't get into all the details. That the Sanhedrin is the one who fixed our calendar. The Gemara tells the whole story how the nephew of Rav Yeshua ben Chananya was in Babel, and he set up our calendar in Babel. He was doing the Kiddush HaChodesh, and the rabbis from Israel sent two messengers that if he doesn't stop, they're going to excommunicate him. They're going to put him into Cherem. This is a pretty severe punishment. They're going to put him into Cherem for the usurping of this authority that must rest in Eretz Yisrael. The setting of the calendar must rest with the Sanhedrin and must be in Eretz Yisrael. Why? So I would say the Sanhedrin has at the legal aspect. The calendar is the soul of a nation. The calendar, the way we lead our life, what time it is, when it's okay, Shabbos is automatic, but the whole yontif, the whole notion of time, the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people in Egypt, we all know, is to establish a calendar. We also know that that mitzvah was given to Moshe and Aaron. To Moshe and Aaron as a unit, to show the equality, the getting along of the two brothers. They didn't have any jealousy. That's, of course, why we have Tisha B'Av. We didn't learn that idea. And the moon, of course, is a symbol of jealousy. The moon is the complaint, according, everybody knows that the famous Medrash, the moon complained that we can't have two kings. So we can't have a sun and a moon equal. So God said, okay, you be smaller. That's why we say in Kiddush HaLevana, Lemalei Pegimat HaLevana. The Levana has a pegima, has a wound, it was hurt. Because it was jealous. The Kiddush HaChodesh, the Sangeshin Numen, is not just an astronomical astronomy. It's the notion of repairing the notion of jealousy. It's the coming up together, the one, the Moshe and Aaron, the forming of a nation. The nation was formed by the basis of our calendar. I think I may have even mentioned in this context, I don't remember, a long time ago, that Rav Sadia Gaon, in the 10th century, one of the major arguments that broke up between the Jews of Babel and the Jews of Eretz Yisrael related to the establishment of the calendar. I think mentioned that for 2 years, this is a historical fact. I believe it was 922 and 923, if I'm not mistaken. The Jews in Babel and the Jews in Eretz Yisrael did not have the same calendar. They celebrated Pesach on two different days. That's it. They celebrated Pesach on different days of the year. I always say we live in a generation, we Jews argue about everything. Can you? But Baruch Hashem, we agree when is Yom Kippur and Pesach. Can you imagine if we had this Jew said Yom Kippur is on this day? We have that. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, we did have that. And Rabbi Gamliel laid down the law, and even though he insulted Rabbi Yeshua and he was very harsh on him and he made him violate Yom Kippur, he had to do it. Because that's the end of Judaism. Two calendars, forget it. That's the end of Judaism, and that's why that is entrusted to the Sanhedrin, and that's why it can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. So once they saw there wouldn't be any more, they couldn't have Jews in Eretz Yisrael to do the calendar, they set up a permanent calendar, the calendar that we have. That's not the real calendar that we have. That's not the way it's meant to be. So we have the notion of the Sanhedrin, our legal law, the transmission of a judiciary. We have the notion of our calendar. But the Gemara in Bava Vatra quotes this pasuk of Kimitzi on Tetzei Torah in a different context. Quite an interesting concept. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. So who's Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla? I hope everybody knows who he is. Because if we don't know who he is, we're in violation of the Gemara. Because the Gemara said, remember this person for all of eternity. This person did. You have to put up a plaque in every school. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla is the one who founded our day school system. That's the Gemara says. It says in the Chumash, a parent has to teach a child Torah. So what used to happen, those parents who were learned taught their children. Those parents who weren't learned didn't teach their children. They were ignorant, as we know. Most Jews, including Rabbi Akiva, were ignorant. Rabbi Akiva was not the exception. That was the norm. Most Jews were ignorant. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla was a Kohen Gadol towards the end of the Second Temple period. Said, this is not a good situation. So he instituted schools in Jerusalem. That everybody, after all their farming, go for like a year to learn in Israel. So he set up schools in Jerusalem so everybody could learn. Free schools in Jerusalem. So, and then he saw that didn't work so well either. Because those parents who could afford to send their kids to Israel, to Jerusalem, would send. And those who couldn't, it's too much work on the farm, so they couldn't send their kids to Israel. So they didn't learn. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla then instituted the notion of a school in every city. Every city in the world has to have a school, and the Rambam, he codified how many kids and how many teachers, etc. They're lost about this. The obvious question is, well, the Gemara to me, it doesn't read straight. Does Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla not understand this? What did he thought? He thought he'd open up a school in Jerusalem and every kid in the world would come. What do you think? So first he saw this one works. So he opened up a school in Jerusalem. A few schools in Jerusalem. When that didn't work, he opened up a school everywhere. Why did he need a middle step? Why didn't he just say, this doesn't work, we're making an institution to have schools everywhere? Why do you have to have the middle step? And the Gemara quotes, Gemara says, why? Ki mitzi on Tetzei Torah Dvar Hashem Mirushalayim. When he set up the schools in Jerusalem to know. And what's the Gemara telling us? You know what? You can have Torah outside of Yerushalayim. You can have Torah outside of Israel. It's not the real thing. He wanted, as we explained, first to establish Torah. The establishing a Torah system, an education system, must be based in Yerushalayim. He tried to go straight to a school in every city. That's not real Torah. That's the next best thing. If you can't have the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, no. So you have the Torah everywhere else. Then you have to go. But it's interesting. You really see something which is maybe astounding to us. You know, there is a distinction between Yerushalayim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. You know, the famous Mishnah in Kalim, there are 10 Kedushot. Most of the Kedushot are in Yerushalayim. Eretz Yisrael has one level of Kedusha, and the other 9 levels are all in Yerushalayim. So it's a mitzvah to make Aliyah in Efrat and Beit Shemesh and Ranan. It's a wonderful, wonderful mitzvah. Halavai, if people can do that mitzvah. But there's a special mitzvah to make Aliyah in Yerushalayim. So that perhaps makes it understandable. You know, the Gemara says that one of the grounds for a divorce, in theory, not in practice. The Gemara says grounds for a divorce, not only is if a couple, one of the spouses doesn't want to move to Israel, but if you're living in Israel and one spouse wants to live in Yerushalayim and the other doesn't, one can force the other. And either if it's the husband can force his wife, if she says no, he divorces her without her alimony. And if the wife wants to go and the husband says no, the Beit Din will insist he give a get. It's amazing halacha. It doesn't apply this manazel. But there is a concept, Yerushalayim is special even in Eretz Yisrael. And we're setting up a school system, that's why it's so important. It's a wonderful thing, you know, with all the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. So everybody knows the one group of people who are still going are the graduates of high schools, who by and large, well over 90% are still going. There's been a very little drop. I say it's a wonderful credit to all the parents who are sending their kids to Yerushalayim, because there is something special. You can't learn Torah here. It's not. You can, but it's not the same thing. It's the second best. So these are all notions when we say Kimitzi Gantei Tzitron, we sing the song, we don't really mean it, but this is what the Pasuk really means. Just don't have that much time left to take some of the other ideas. The Malbim Yisrael talked that Sion is the Sanhedrin, our legal authority, our spirit, our Torah, but he also has the Kohen Gadol. So we know the Kohen Gadol, of course, that can be based only in Yerushalayim. Now, the main purpose of a Kohen Gadol? What's the main role of a Kohen? So I often explain, on the one hand, the main role of the Kohen is, it's not the korbanot. We know the typical Kohen only worked in the Beis HaMikdash approximately 3 days a year. It's not the korbanot. The main role of Kohanim are teachers of Torah. The Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim are based in Yerushalayim because the Kohanim are the ones who taught Torah. The Pasuk in Malachi, the last of the prophets, tells us, I'll start a pasuk before. Torah emet haita befihu. This is talking to Kohanim. The Torah of truth. The same way we mentioned Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. The Mitzvot said only in Eretz Yisrael is it a Torah of truth. You're going to have a Torah not of truth. It's not the full thing. Torah emet haita befihu. The Torah of truth is in his mouth. Vavla lo nimsa bisvatav. And you don't have any wrong, any misty on his lips. B'shalom u'b'mishor halach. He walks in peace and straight. V'rabim heshiv me'avonim. He returns many from sin. Kisit de kohen yishmeru dat. The lips of the kohen preserve our religion. V'torah yivakshu mipihu. And we'll seek Torah from his lips. Ki malach Hashem tzva'otu. Because he is the angel of God. The Navi Malachi tells us the role of the kohen is the one who teach Torah. It's Torah emet, but it's more than Torah. What's the purpose of Torah? Torah is also, in many ways, is a means to an end. What is the purpose of the Torah? The purpose of Torah is to have emet, no avla, lo avla yomitzav bisvatav, b'shalom u'b'meishor, to go in peace and in righteousness, v'rabim heshiv me'avon, and to return many from sin. That's the role of the Kohen, that's the role of Yerushalayim, to the founders, the notion of a bal tshuva. The Rabbi Meshim Me'avon to teach Torah. I don't have to tell you, I mentioned this last night also, the entire Baal Tshuva movement is as a result of the Six-Day War. And anybody who thinks otherwise is mistaken. There would be one, out of every thousand Baal Tshuva, so one would have become a Baal Tshuva without the Six-Day War. The whole notion of Tshuva and the pride to be a Jew was because of Eretz Yisrael, was because of the people running to Yerushalayim. Everybody knows the whole Baal Tshuva movement is centered in Yerushalayim. And that's what the Kohanim, that's the role of the Kohen. The Kohen of the teachers of Torah, but Torah has to bring us into peace. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, Hevei mitamidav shel Aaron, we are to be like our students of Aaron. Oev et abriot makarvam, makarvam l'Torah. You have to love people and bring them closer unto Torah. And Rav Chaim of Elazhin explains the order is not insignificant. Have to love people and bring them to Torah. It doesn't say bring people to Torah and then love them. That's what some people, they have like an agenda. They'll be very nice to you if they figure you're like a Kiruv candidate. So then they'll be very nice. Once they see you're not a Kiruv candidate, won't work. Then they drop. So that's not what the Yirmiyahu says. First love people. When you love people, that's how you bring them closer onto Torah. You want to bring someone closer to Torah, there can't be an ulterior motive you want to make him from. Even if you're not going to make him from, you have to love him, and you have to bring him closer. And that's the role of the Kohanim. Aaron HaKohen is the peacemaker, everybody knows that. That's the role. The Sanhedrin is the legal authority. The Kohen Gadol is the, spiritual authority. The ones who brought us closer. I would even say that the Sanhedrin is Torah. The Kohen Gadol is Avodah. Torah and Avodah. These two ideas emanate only in Eretz Yisrael. And the last thing the Malbim says is Malchut. And I would I surmise that you want to say Malchut is Gmilut Chasadim. Al Shloshat Reim Halama Made. What's the purpose of a malchut? What's the purpose of a king? Is to also to social justice. There are many things that individuals cannot do. We all know that. Living in Canada, as much as an individual wants to help, there's some things only a government can do. Only something with all the resources of a government can be done. Individuals can only give a limited amount of staka. Can only sit up, no matter how much money they have. There's a limit to what they can do. It's only a malchut that can do chesed on a national scale. That's perhaps what we lost. Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah. We lost the Sanhedrin. We lost the Kohen Gadol. We lost our Malchut Beit David. We lost the Malchut Beit David is the idea on a social, national level to do acts of chesed. All the wonderful chesed we do in Chutz Laretz is only on an individual level. And Baruch Hashem, now we have the return. It's not exactly a Malchut Beit David, but it is a malchut. It is recognized as a malchut, and whether it's a religious malchut or not is not really relevant for this purposes. Anybody who reads any of the Nevi'im, just read, without any commentaries, just read through the Nevi'im. You'll see we're a lot better than the people in the time of Nevi'im Rishonim. The idolatry, the corruption, we read about it. It's true, we have a lot of their faults also. But, you know, we're not all terrible. We have learned a little bit in 2,000 years. The total source of corruption had, and that was the Malchut. They had Malchut and Menashe was king and the Avodah Zarah was rampant. Everywhere was rampant. So the Malchut we have today in Israel is no worse. It's no worse and it's a lot better. It's a lot better than the Malchut we have. So there is what, even the Malchut Ben David, and only Eretz Yisrael. And we see the wonderful things the government of Israel has been able to, we've only been able to do because we have a government. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Chanukah that, why do we celebrate the holiday of Chanukah? So everybody knows we celebrate the holiday of Chanukah because of the miracle of the oil. Everybody knows that. Except that's not what it says in the Rambam. Rambam, he says that a little later on, but he just says there's a halacha, you have to light the eight candles. But the Rambam, in defining what is the mitzvah of Chanukah, why do we celebrate Chanukah, tells us because in the time of the Greeks, there was all kinds of anti-Jewish persecution, and the Greeks took over our temple, and the Maccabees went to war, and Baruch Hashem, they won the war. So why do we have Chanukah? Because the Maccabees established a Jewish state. They established a political authority of the Jewish people. Chazrut Malchut Liyoshna has returned to the Jewish people. We are our own bosses for more than 200 years, from 165 BC to the year 70. 230 years, approximately. So the Rambam says that's why we have Chanukah. We have Chanukah because we have Jewish autonomy and political authority in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Chashmonaim were not great kings. First of all, it was not allowed. They were not allowed to be kings because they were our Kohanim. And the Kohuna and the Malchut is divided. It's two different things. A Kohen cannot be a Melech. But yet, and they were all killed. We all know they were all killed later on. It's irrelevant. When you have a Malchut in Eretz Yisrael, that is something to celebrate. That is something to be happy about. So the Yishayahu HaNavi tells us, Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that Tzion consists, as the Malvim of Saints, of our Sanhedrin, of Torah, the Kohen Gadol, is Avodah, the Malchut, Gmilut Chasadim, and this is what we have lost when we're in exile. And this is something that when the nations of the world realize it, then we can have, then we will have peace. That will be the coming of the Mashiach. I mentioned how the Malvim says, Udvar Hashem is Nevuah. Is prophecy. We know that prophecy can only also be in Israel. Yonah ran away because he figured if he gets out of Israel quickly enough, so he's off the hook. God can't get to him. That's what he thought. Or I don't know exactly what he thought, but that's what it says he thought. So he'll run away. He'll take a boat. He'll get out of the country. There's no prophecy outside the land of Israel. That's nevuah, prophecy. That's the whole. That's part of the Nevi'im are not the halachic authorities. They're not the legal authorities. The Nevi'im are the ones who prophesize on our social justice and not to oppress the poor and the orphan and the widow and all the social ills and the ethical failings we have. Those are the things the Navi are meant to address. Rabbi Michalowicz spoke about the proper Jewish wedding, and I must say, I'll publicly say that I thought it was wonderful, his comments on the wedding, and I asked him how old his younger kids are, if we can make a shidduch, because he was concerned he couldn't find parents who agree. But I think it was wonderful what he said. So our kids do match. We do have, he has, I think, 8 or 9 kids, so the Leon Hara. So he spoke about what is our permanent simcha. The Gemara tells us that if you dance at a wedding, one who makes a bride and groom happy, not by eating more at the smorgasbord, but who dances at the wedding, is as if he built one of the walls of Yerushalayim. Of course, what is the connection between the walls of Yerushalayim and dancing at a wedding? So on the simple level, Yerushalayim we lost because of Sinat Chinam. We lost because of our hatred and our infighting. And Yerushalayim will, at a wedding, is the height of Ahavat Chinam, where a husband and wife hopefully are in love and will help each other and build together, not because it's your turn to take out the garbage or my turn. It's a pure, unadulterated love, the Ahavat Chinam. So when one dances at a wedding and brings joy, and leaves the Ahavat Chinam, this is the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. This is how we build Yerushalayim. We have to hope that the Torah comes out of Israel all the time. And it's true today, Baruch Hashem, you see, Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael. The Torah in Chutz Arz is not like Eretz Yisrael. I want to talk before on the kids who go for a year. Everybody knows that year is a transforming event in their life. The only problem is most of them come back here and they live in the land of idolatry. They live in the Nathar, so it undoes much of what was done in Israel. Everybody knows it's a serious problem. Many of the kids who come back from Israel, their learning slips, everything slips. They get back into the old routine. It still has much of a wonderful effect, but it's not the same thing. As long as they're in Israel, in the natural environment of the Jew, in Sion and Torah, then that's where you have the transforming process of the people. We have to recognize that that Torah does emanate from Israel, that Israel is our homeland, that all the mitzvot we do here are just practice, as we started. That's what it says in the Medrash, and I say here, I talk to myself. I have, not to be critical of anybody who doesn't live in Israel, but we all have to ask ourselves, why don't we live in Israel, and should we live in Israel? And there's no greater mitzvah. I think this is, without a doubt, is the mitzvah of our generation, as I mentioned also in the morning. The flight they had about a week ago of the 400 people who made Aliyah from North America is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And these are people who truly understand what we have, what we need, what we are yearning for. We don't yet have a Sanhedrin. We don't yet have a Kohen Gadol. We have only half of the Malchut. We don't have the Malchut Beit David. We have half the Malchut. But we do have Kimi Tzion on Teitzei Torah. We do have the Torah in Zion. We do have, it's the house of God, it's where God lives. That happens now also. That is where God is living. What we're sorely lacking is what the Navi tells us is the recognition of the Goyim. That the Navi begins, Avramru, the Goyim will say that Kimitzi and Teitzitur, when the Goyim will understand that a strong Israel will benefit everybody. The Palestinians will be a lot better off with a strong Israel. When the Arab world, when the Europeans, when the Canadians understand this, that the strong Israel is the best interest of the world, then the next pasuk of Yeshayahu, of Lo Yisa Goy El Goy Charev, Eloyim Adu Od Mechama, can come true, and let us hope that comes true, B'mheira B'yamin. Amen. Okay, we'll take another 5-minute break.